Support for KJZZ's coverage of tribal resources comes from Katina Foundation, dedicated to restoring human and ecological systems.
A pair of proposals at the state capitol would allow some Arizona Native American tribes to keep a percentage of sales tax revenues collected on reservation lands. That money could then be used for public safety and economic development projects. The bills differ over the amount of money the tribes would be allowed to keep. One proposal would set aside half, the other 15%. The measures are partly the result of the recent closure of the Navajo Generating Station, which was a major source of jobs on the Navajo Nation. It, along with the Hopi tribe, were also until recently subject to a ban on development under what was known as the Bennett Freeze. To find out more about that piece of history and how it's impacted communities, our co-host Mark Brody spoke with Mark Trahant, editor of Indian Country Today, and they started by talking about exactly what the Bennett Freeze is.
It goes back to a dispute between the Navajo and Hopi tribes going back several generations. There was a lawsuit in 1962 called Healing versus Jones, and it established this idea of a joint use area for both tribes instead of dividing the land. And the commissioner of Indian Affairs at the time was a guy by the name of Robert Bennett, and he decided to institute a freeze so that neither tribe could get ahead of the other in terms of development. It was also tied into mining, even mining that predated that, going back to 1919. And it set a really a bizarre set of rules in place for how each tribe would develop land.
And am I right that it was repealed not that long ago, right, during the Obama administration?
Yes, it had been talked about for years to have some sort of lifting of the Bennett Freeze, but it actually was in the Obama administration which was able to get that to happen.
What has the impact been? I mean, if these tribes weren't able to develop particular portions of their land, what has that meant for them?
Well, it's one of the poorest areas of both Navajo and Hopi. And one of the really extraordinary things, I think, is that you start with a base of having a really complex layer for development anyway. You have to go through archaeological rules. You have to go through the Bureau of Indian Affairs process. It's a complicated endeavor anyway to develop. And then this just lays on a whole additional layer of complexity. Lifting it was supposed to spur economic development and a little bit, I mean, there's been some housing projects and certainly some new energy projects. But for the most part, it still has this complicated premise that begins even before the Bennett Freeze.
Well, given all the layers, as you said, I mean, how big of an impact did that particular layer, the Bennett Freeze, have? I mean, do you think there would have been a lot of development there absent that freeze?
No. And where you really saw it first was housing. The housing shortage is pretty chronic. And this was a way for folks to develop housing projects almost immediately. And that was the very first thing that happened after the freeze was lifted.
So under this proposal in the legislature, there are a couple of them with varying percentages of allowing tribes to keep a percentage of the tax revenue they collect on the reservation. Would that make it easier for them to develop, especially given that the Bennett Freeze is now done away with?
Well, I think the broader context is important, and that is that a lot of states have worked out really complicated and beneficial tax agreements across the country. Some where you've seen, for example, there's a tribe in Nevada, the Nevada Indian Colony, that has land right in Las Vegas and they are in Reno, and they've been able to develop shopping centers and stuff. And this was a tribe that didn't have a lot of natural resources, but they were able to do that using tax policy. And so I think however the tax policy unfolds, it could be a benefit because it allows really folks to come in with a certainty and knowing the tribe also will have a revenue stream.
Are the finances also considered a holdup for development on some of this land?
Certainly. I mean, it has to be worked out every time. And I mean, there are really two things that are required in development. One is certainty on the business side, but also certainty on the revenue side for the governments involved. And I think having that kind of architecture makes a lot of sense.
I'm wondering if there's a disparity here also between the urban tribes and the rural tribes, especially in Arizona, where you see a lot of the tribes near Phoenix and Tucson have shopping centers like you referenced in Nevada. They have sporting facilities, casinos, things like that. Whereas, for example, the Navajo and Hopi tribes are in more rural parts of the state. The development isn't quite there. Do you think that something like one of these proposals at the State House might help those more rural tribes?
Well, I think in general, rural development is just more complicated for that very reason. I mean, it really comes down to the old business adage, location, location, location.
Right.
If you get lucky and you have the geography on your side, it makes it much, much easier for development. That said, rural areas come up with some really creative projects, and I think that's probably what's in store here. It just takes time to, one, lift the rules and then make sure that everyone involved knows the next set of rules and move forward with that.
So you mentioned housing projects. I've also heard of energy projects, potentially, that a proposal like this could help. Is that the kind of thing that you're talking about in terms of creative development projects?
Exactly. SRP just announced basically an open bid for a solar plant. That would be the kind of thing that would fit perfectly. I think we're just at the beginning of seeing how rural areas can contribute in new ways, whether it be with actual solar projects, or one thing that's coming up is server farms, where you have folks right on a transmission line able to deliver not just energy, but information because of where they're located.
All right. That is Mark Trahant, editor of Indian Country Today. Mark, good to talk to you. Thank you.
Thank you.